two key ideas: the physical universe as a system of intermeshing spectra, depending on each other and playing with each other in the same way as warp and woof in weaving. These spectra are different dimensions rather than components of the physical world. And that, although I'm using the word physical here, I'm using it in the sense of its original meaning, natural, rather than the later meaning that has been attached to it, that is to say, material world. The material world considered as a world made out of stuff. The public has been bamboozled for centuries on the notion that patterns have to be composed of some sort of basic stuff, trying to substitute for that sort of conception of the world the idea of interweaving a spectra, which are different dimensions of energy, or of patterning. And I used the verb patterning as distinct from the noun pattern, because when you use nouns in combination with verbs, you obscure language. Watch out for this. This underlies many people's misunderstanding of things, is the differentiation of noun and verb. It's an entirely unnecessary differentiation. And it gives one the impression that wherever there is an action going on, that is to say, something appropriately described by a verb, there must be some other kind of thing than an action, which is described by a noun, and to this is ascribed the origin of the action. So when you say, there is thinking, because the verb has to have a subject, which is a noun, someone says, well, who is thinking? Obviously, there can't be any thinking without a thinker, without a who that thinks. And that is a question, a problem that arises, simply because it is a convention of our grammar that every verb has to have a subject, which must always be a noun. So a noun stands for a thing, and a verb stands for an event. And we therefore suppose that events are caused by things. But if you ask a person what he means by a thing, he will never be able to tell you. He will give you a series of synonyms, such as object, fact, whatever. But all these are simply alternate words for thing. Then what do you mean by an event? We'll say process, etc. And it's equally vague. You can always describe events in terms of things, and equally, you can describe things in terms of events. If I want to say, ordinary, while the cat sat on the mat, the dog went for a walk around the house. That's noun-verb language. But I can equally say, while the catting sat on the matting, the dogging went walking around the dwelling. And I've changed the whole sentence into verbs, and it's still as clear as it was in the beginning. Or I can turn it all into nouns. The cat, seat upon the mat, the dog upon a walk around the house. It's all nouns. But in one, in a noun world, of course, you'll have a static world. In a verb world, you'll have a dynamic world. But there aren't, for example, if you take the word fist, is a fist a noun? Yes. But it describes a process. Not properly a noun, because this noun suddenly vanishes. This thing, fist, called fist, disappears the minute I open my hand. What happened to it? See, I stopped fisting, and I went into handing. So the verb language has a little edge over the noun language as being better suited to the kind of process that nature is. So when you realize that you can discuss the whole of nature in the verb language, you don't have to ask the question, who started it? You don't, in other words, have to seek for a noun as the explanation of the verbs. You don't have to seek for something that is not process to start process off. So, this then is the language I'm using when I talk about patterning as the basic goings-on of the physical world, and patterning can be described and measured and so on and so forth. So then, the other point that I was making particularly was in the spectrum, you have the extremes of the spectrum. The sound and the silence, the light and the dark, space and solid. And I was showing how by the yin-yang philosophy of the Chinese, how these extremes are not opposites but poles. They go together. They require each other. You know one in terms of the other. And so in this way, you don't have the world as an opposition of light and darkness, of being and non-being, in such a way that one of the poles could exist alone, either being or non-being, non-being or being. Because the whole nature of poles is that without both of them, there are neither. And so if we have a polar universe, then you don't, as it were, have to worry, as if this was something to worry about, that the play, the music of existence, might cease forever and ever and ever. In that kind of cosmology argument that's now going on, you know, there are two dominant theories of cosmology among physicists. One is the steady state theory, and the other is the explosion theory. The steady state people want to make out that hydrogen, free hydrogen in space, is all the time, as it were, coagulating and forming itself into new bodies. Whereas the explosion theory people, who have the edge of the argument at the moment, say there was originally an enormous concentration of energy which blew up and expelled all the galaxies from it, which went floating out, and the whole thing is gradually dissipating itself radioactively until it will reach a state of quiescence. And of course, if you have a Judeo-Christian mind which thinks of time in a linear way instead of a circular way, you'll think that's awful, because the whole thing is running down, and when it's finished, that'll be it. But you see, I always want to ask the question, well, what was it like before the Big Bang went off in the beginning? Probably pretty much the same state of affairs as when it all petered out in the end. In other words, whatever happened once can always happen again, given enough time, either the steady state theory or the Big Bang theory. Doesn't make much difference, except by way of describing the pattern, how it happens. The question of whether it happens, that whatever did happen could happen again. I'm a kind of a funny phenomenon that this universe is doing. It's done me this time. It may do me again, not quite the same way, but rather like me, near enough to be me. You know, like you play the piano, and you play a certain piece, and then you stop, and the piece is dead. Then you think, well, let's play it again. And you play the same piece again. It's the same piece, but it's a different playing. And every time the universe plays any one of you, the same eye, looking out through different eyes,